Thank you, Lord. Father, we just invite you to have your way today. We give you the steering wheel. And we, God, we just love you, Lord. If we could somehow just embrace you in the Spirit and hold you close to us, God, we just want to say how much we love you, and we thank you for bringing us here today so we can worship you and we can see you in your glory. Have your way among us in Jesus' name. And his church said,
amen.
Amen. Ah. Welcome to Shore Christian Fellowship. Welcome to 2010, the year we go supernatural. I believe that is what God is calling us to do, where he is leading us this year. I am convinced and persuaded of that, and I am not ashamed of that. And so I want to proclaim it boldly, in faith, with confidence and expectation. Welcome to 2010, the year we go supernatural, the year we see and experience that breakthrough in the Spirit, where God does signs and wonders and mighty works among his people. We have already begun to see it happen. We've been praying. We have a core group of people that meets every Wednesday to pray for revival. We've been praying for rain. We've been praying for rains of revival, rains of victory, rains of deliverance, rains of signs and wonders and healings and power, rains of favor from God. And we have been experiencing the beginning of those rains. I could sense that the rains were coming last year when our dear brother Ian was healed miraculously of cancer. It was there one day. One night they called me. We were praying and Barbara was crying and they were preparing to make their final preparations for his funeral and who would do this and how this would happen. And we prayed over that brother and God took that away. And when he went to the doctors, the cancer was gone. When that happened, I knew the rains had begun to fall. I even knew the rains had begun to fall when our precious, beloved, dear sister and friend Doris passed into eternity when she went home to be with the Lord late last year. And after we had spent all that time in the hospital room with her saying our goodbyes and talking about God and the things of eternity, and we left out in the parking lot as she was just resting in the bed there. And we had some fellowship out in the parking lot, and it was glorious. And we said, we can sense the rains coming. And as I got into my car in that moment, I sensed the heavens open. And for a microsecond, I caught a glimpse in my spirit of the very place of heaven. For a microsecond, a flash through my mind that I believe was literally an outpouring, an opening of the windows of heaven. And that vision just rocked my world to its core the rest of the night. It happened like that, and yet it shook me to my foundation, and there was a sense of the presence of the angels of God around my car, and I knew in that moment the rains had begun. I didn't realize at that moment, I didn't know until the next day that at that moment she had literally passed from here into eternity and had stepped through that door into that place, and I was getting the glow from that, whatever the fallout from that, but it was beautiful and glorious, and it encouraged me. Yes, the rain is coming, and I believe that the rain has, praise God, begun. Last week when we opened this year with an all-worship Sunday where we just spent the entire time on our face before God seeking his face, And it was glorious, and several people came forward for prayers, and we have already begun to see answers, amazing answers to those prayers. One precious young lady we prayed for that faced serious health issues based on her blood work, this week she received a clean bill of health. I don't care why the doctors rationalize in their mind why that is. I know why that is.
Amen.
Our God is mighty to save and mighty to heal and mighty to deliver. And he is faithful to his people to answer their prayers. Our children's church, and we've been praying for revival even amongst our kids. I mean, we said, man, let the Holy Spirit fall in the children's church, man. Our children's church has been praying for a man who has been in a coma for 3 months. This week he came out of the coma. Man, woo! Woke up, 3 months, they couldn't do a thing. He just laid there. And the kids started praying. In fact, Maya, just this weekend, went out of the building praying for that man. And this week he came out of that coma. God raised him out of that thing. The rain has begun to fall. The rain has begun to fall. It is falling now. It is falling on us. It is happening. Know this. Seize this. Lay a hold of this. Let nothing put doubt in your mind. This week, God has increased the circle of prayer that has come in agreement to pray for revival and to call down the floods of God upon dry ground. He has increased that circle. It has been glorious. We have had major intercessory prayer meetings this week, numerous ones, and it has been absolutely breathtaking. Last year, God gave me a song about revival. I feel a little ridiculous. I'm not going to sing it because then I would be ridiculous. But I just want to, if I may, if you would just indulge me, I just want to share some of the words from a couple of the verses of that song because it echoes my heart. And I hope that in these words you hear my heart. The words say, Lord, it's a prayer. Lord, send down revival. Let it come like a heavy rain. Send a flash flood of your power down and sweep us all away. Let it saturate and let it penetrate until we're soaked from head to toe. Lord, send down revival like a flood and let it roll. Lord, send down revival as we break the fallow ground. Let the raging river shake the earth and let it thunder with the sound. I want to tremble with anticipation in the depths of my own soul. Lord, send down revival like a flood and let it roll. Let the wind declare your coming as it rushes through the trees. And let every soul that hears the noise fall down upon their knees. Because the gates of hell will not prevail when the lightning takes its toll. Lord, send down revival like a flood and let it roll. And the last verse says, Lord, send down revival. Let it come in mighty waves, like a powerful tsunami force to show the world that Jesus saves. As we cry to you, our sovereign God, because we know you're in control, Lord, send down revival like a flood and let it roll. That's the cry of my heart, as plainly as I can speak it. That's what moves me, and I hope that it moves you as well. When little boys come up for prayer in the middle of the service with this precious, innocent smile because the enemy has given them a tumor in their brain, I am not content to walk away from that and just simply bend my theology to accept failure. My heart moves to see God do what He does and what He has demonstrated through His Word that He is able to do and desires to do. And I'm sorry, I'm not going down without a fight, and I'm not going down unless, you know, I'm sorry. There you go. There you go. I'm fighting for Him. I am putting on the glove. I'm taking off the gloves in the spirit, and I'm fighting for Him because He's worth fighting for. And I will not accept a flawed theology to simply so I can feel comfortable about letting Him fall victim to that thing. When we went down to Peru, when we saw heart-wrenching children in the children's hospital, where the parents often, because they didn't have money for treatment, simply abandoned their own flesh and blood to the hospital in hopes that they could somehow find a cure for their disease. Abandoned their children to the hospital because they didn't have money for the doctor, and they knew that if they simply gave them up and left them on the doorstep, there was a chance maybe somehow they would get the medical care they needed. And we went down to that place and we prayed. God, help us. We prayed our hearts out for some of these kids, man. Kids that were malnourished, that probably wouldn't even be sick if they even had food. And I have to be honest, man, I was frustrated that we did not see God's glory fall. But I was too frustrated to simply bend my theology to a perspective of failure and say, oh, well, it just didn't happen and God doesn't care. I'm sorry. It has lit a fire inside of me, and I am going to press forward and follow my Lord Jesus Christ until I am doing, and we are doing, the works that He promised that we would do, and greater works than those. I don't care if I look like a fool. I have friends that I respect and admire that are learned theologians that talk a good talk, and I love these guys. But they have talked themselves out of the possibilities of God moving in a mighty way. And whenever they see God moving in a mighty way, and I speak with caution because I don't want to speak against them. I love them dearly. But they patronize that and they ridicule that because maybe these guys don't have such a perfect sense of doctrine as they do. And when they preach, their exegesis is a little flawed and their doctrine is a little sloppy. And maybe they seem a little uneducated or a little awkward on the platform, and there's something unsightly about them and they speak down against them. But they don't know. It's not about them. It's about the anointing that is on them, and it's God's anointing. And God calls us to be fools for Christ. I don't know why God doesn't bless us nicely educated, properly exegeting theologians, and why He takes these bumpkins out of Nowhereville and does stunning, brilliant, powerful works of glory on them. I wouldn't have chosen them, but somehow maybe in their heart they have captured something of the heart of God that in all of our doctrinal theological perfection we have missed. Because Christ calls us to go outside the gates of the city. The price for following Christ is always going to be the willingness to look foolish in the eyes of the world or even in the eyes of the church. And so I want to go where the anointing is, whether that makes me look like a fool or whether, you know, whatever. Because if I'm a fool for Christ, I don't want to be anything else. The price will always be to go outside of the city. The price will always be willing to risk being misunderstood, willing to risk being looked down upon, willing to risk being identified with those who maybe don't have the prestige that we heap upon ourselves. But I'd rather be a fool for Christ and see those kids down in Peru suddenly get up out of that bed and walk and think and function and see their moms and dads come unglued with joy beyond their wildest imagination as God falls on that place and children are healed and adults are healed and people tormented with spirits are suddenly set free to know joy and gladness and liberty in Jesus Christ. And I deviated from my notes a little bit. I apologize. That means I might preach a little longer today. You're welcome to leave. I won't hold it against you. There's food out there, though. If you wait, we can eat. It'd be funny if I wasn't so desperate. God. But I'm rejoicing because in my spirit I know. We've prayed through, brother. We prayed through, Jean, Fiona, David, we prayed through. The doors are open. Doors are open. It's starting to rain. Last year it was a cloud the size of a man's hand, but God is saying, run, run, because the rain is coming down. I believe that as we start walking in this, if we will accept and receive this and begin trusting that God is doing what He has promised to do, that this move has already begun, if we begin walking out believing that God is with us, that He is birthing this work here and now in this place today, on this ground upon which we are sitting, as we walk in faith that God is doing what He has indicated and promised He will do, then we are going to see increase in the rain. Then we are going to see showers turn into torrents, which turn into rivers, which turn into floods, that not only fill this place, but go out into the community and transform this region for Jesus Christ. I believe it's going to sweep the entire seaboard. And if it does what revival has always done, it's going to go from that place out into the farthest corners of the world.